I know most of you in either face or name, so it's always fun to see you all again at convention. Just for a brief background, pretty much all my family on both sides would be nominal Catholic, not really devout. So as we were getting older, my parents decided that they just wanted something more for their children. And so the first step they took was to homeschool. So we started homeschooling when I was in fifth grade, and that was a really great change for all of us. But speaking from my story, it was really, really good for me because it exposed us to the circle of Christian homeschoolers and everything that goes on along with that. And so just things like conservatism and modesty, things we wouldn't have grown up with our background. So that was a blessing. So we decided to pursue Anabaptism as we were pursuing churches. We tried everything from going back into Mass to Charismatic, which was really interesting, and a bunch of different things in between. So just about everything, except maybe Lutheran. But yeah, we were just kind of getting discouraged because it seemed like people, and this is stereotyping, so hear me right, but it just seemed like people went to church on Sunday, nothing else changed. They'd still go drink and party and everything else, or it didn't really seem to affect their lives, and we were wanting that. I was wanting that. So my mom just started researching different denominations and beliefs and things like that within Christianity and came across the Anabaptists, and however long ago this would have been, 10, 15 years ago, there weren't near as many websites and resources and information available to non-Mennonite people, so it was harder to find information. So it took some time learning about things, and she eventually came into contact with a pastor in Indiana somewhere, and he started sending us literature and different things about things like non-resistance and modesty and those kinds of things. And so we started digging into that, not because they were Anabaptist, but digging into what Scripture said. And just becoming convicted of those things, things like the covering or the modesty or femininity and those kinds of things, and gender roles, too, are another big one. So we just started gradually making changes based on what we saw in Scripture. And, yeah, I guess something I would encourage you just as I'm thinking about it is that Anabaptism, being an Anabaptist is a blessing, and I agree with Dean Taylor that the term Anabaptist should be used as a worldview, not a denomination, whereas Mennonite would be denomination. So being Mennonite is a blessing. Having Anabaptist values is a blessing, but always come back to Scripture and not use those things as a crutch. To know why you believe what you believe, whether you grow up in it or not. To always be digging, always searching. And so we just started making some changes. I would say some of the challenges for a non-Mennonite background person coming in is that Mennonites have a beautiful culture. It's really nice. We really appreciate it, but it is really hard to acclimate into. And so for both sides, we need to learn to give it time to acclimate, just like with our missionaries going overseas, learning the language. I'm not talking Dutch, but learning how you think, how you talk, so we can fit in. Singing prayer for a fellowship meal is something we don't know the songs. And so that's something we have to learn, but it's also a blessing when it's noticed and time is taken to help us learn and to make us feel welcome. So just loving goes a long way. Some of the blessings of Anabaptism or of being a Mennonite is what I see right out in front of me now is community. I love coming to convention because even if I don't know your name, I know so many of you. And feeling that community, feeling a part, and that is something that you don't get out in the world. You can be very isolated even in a crowd of people. So what you have here is a blessing, and your heritage too, but always know why you believe what you believe. So, yeah, that's been my journey, and it continues, and God is good. So I encourage you to be faithful, to always be digging, and to always come back to Scripture. So, yeah, blessings to y'all.
Good afternoon. My name is Crystal Yoder. I'm from Queens, New York. And I'm excited today to share a little bit of my journey with you and why I choose to be Anabaptist. I feel incredibly blessed to be part of a group like this, and I can say my heart's at home. Not because most of you can probably bake pies or can beautiful jars of peaches, but but because we as a group have chosen to uphold and live out Scripture as best as we can in every area of our life. I was born into a conservative Anabaptist family. My dad was a pastor and cared very much for our heritage and our Anabaptist history, so I grew up hearing a lot of that, and I appreciate that heritage. I grew up in communities where, pretty much where we were the only Mennonite church. Most of my dad's and mom's extended families have left the Anabaptist churches, and so I feel like at a young age, I needed to learn what it was like to stand alone and to be different. I remember one of my cousins asking me one time if I thought I would be a Mennonite if my parents hadn't raised me that way, and I think I was 11 or 12 at the time. I don't actually remember what my response was. I just remember the question, but I'm happy to say today that I do know why I choose to be Anabaptist. Soon after Joel and I married, we moved overseas and into cross-cultural church planting, and being involved in cross-cultural church planting and ministry has shown me in new ways the things that people are drawn to and also some of the challenges that go along with that. Some of the things that growing up I took for granted, things of our community, Samantha mentioned, is how we love and we care for each other. One of my favorite things is how we can network all over the world with our churches. I love being able to connect with friends almost anywhere I go. Our work ethic and the integrity with which we work, our strong family values and working together as families. My neighbors are intrigued when they come to our home and they see my children working in the kitchen or cleaning. We take it for granted. We've seen this model. I'm so grateful to be a part of a community where these are valued. But at the end of the day, the number one reason I choose and will continue to choose to be Anabaptist is because of what I believe the Word of God says. And I believe that all Scripture is inspired by the Word of God. And I'm grateful, like I said, to be part of a group who's willing to look at Scripture and ask, how can this be applied to my life today? How can we live out Jesus' teaching? And I have found there to be beauty and freedom in being willing to obey God's teachings from Scripture. If I believe that Scripture is God's inspired Word of God, then I'll also believe that He placed the things that He has there for a reason, even the hard things. And I will lose something of value if I choose to walk away from them. So that has been my number one reason as I've gone through life and continue to make choices. I have seen close friends, you probably have too. I have had family members who have chosen to leave our Anabaptist churches. And through those times, as I've grieved those losses and those changes, I've had to go back to the question, what does the Word of God say? What does it say on the things that divide us? Are these worth standing on? And I've chosen to say, yes, they are. Not that I don't love my family or my friends maybe who have made other choices or that I want to in any way end that relationship, but it has sometimes meant a change in direction and values. I have had to come back to the Word of God as I've lived away from most of our married years, away from many of the traditional, maybe Mennonite culture, some of those things, being overseas. And when we moved back overseas, I had a hard time finding my way in my own culture, having reverse culture shock. And that can be a hard place to be. But again, it takes me back to Scripture. Why am I here? Because of what the Word of God says. And how can I apply that to my life? Along with the blessings of church planting has also come challenges. It didn't take long to see in either setting how quickly we could have filled up our churches if we did not hold to some of the teachings of Scriptures that we as Anabaptists treasure. Teachings on divorce and remarriage, modesty, non-resistance, the women's head coverings. It's a joy to see new believers grasp these concepts and start to follow them. But it can also be discouraging when we maybe see them turn away or go elsewhere when these scriptures are taught. So my challenge to myself as I relate to women from all backgrounds, all walks of life, and as I go on my own personal journey, as I look at Scripture, can I teach these well to other women? Do I believe in them enough to live them out no matter what? And do I live them out with joyfully and confidently, especially the ones that pertain particularly to me as an Anabaptist woman? And my answer to these questions is yes. I do believe the Word of God teaches them, and again, that is the number one reason I choose to be an Anabaptist. My desire is to be known as a woman who loves Jesus, whose life has been transformed by the power of the gospel, and I want to be a woman of the word, a woman who loves the word and lives out those truths confidently and can humbly teach others. And I believe God can use each one of us, too, to impact the world just like he did the early Anabaptists. Not because we have it all together, not because we have weaknesses or areas that we don't have to grow in or that we're superior, no, but because we have been changed and transformed by the power of the gospel of Christ.
The city is Ypres, Belgium. The year is 1567. Claudine Levetta is in prison. Nearby, a local woman, the wife of a miller, observes the proceedings. I will be portraying alternately these women's perspectives. I was not really surprised when they came for us. My husband, Pearson, is a minister, often traveling and preaching, sometimes in public. It is no secret among the townsfolk. We are Mennonites. When my friend rushed in to warn us of the coming danger, I begged Pearson to heed the warning at once. He was the one sought after, not me. Besides, I wanted to take our children to a trustworthy friend before I followed him into the wilderness. So he embraced us and ran, and the last I saw of him, he was vanishing into the trees behind our house. My children were afraid, the poor little dears. Margarite, the eldest, fully understood what was happening. You could see the fear in her eyes. My younger boys, Pieter and Nicholas, clung to me and began to cry to go with me. I took up Jean, the infant, in my arms because he's still nursing. I had to take him with me and tried to leave, but the boys were holding on to me and it was hard to break away. Part of me wanted to calm them and to comfort them, but I had to follow Pearson into the wilderness before it was too late. And it was too late anyhow. The Inquisitor and the bailiffs arrived moments later. They saw me and captured me within minutes, and now here we are. John and myself in chains and in prison and more than 14 miles from the home and people that I love. Well, hello, good sir. You must be a stranger in this town. I don't believe I've met you before, and believe me, I know everybody. I'm the miller's wife. And you are? Oh, Monsieur de Muyez. A pleasure, I'm sure. What brings you to our little town? Well, that's all right. Your business is your own. No, that's very wise, actually. This town is just dreadful for gossip. We know almost everything that goes on here, including inside the prison. Not that I've ever been in there, of course, but my home is right beside the prison, and you hear things around. What's that? Oh, I don't know that we have any more criminals than any other little town around here, but we do have an awful lot of those crazy heretics around. They're worse than rats, the way that group has spread. And what I don't understand is the way that the wives also go after it. It's unnatural. You know, it makes sense if you're single and you don't have any obligations, but not when you have little children. You can't go running off after crazy heretics. For example, there's a woman in there right now named Claudine Levetta. She has a tiny baby with her in the prison. It's shameful, and in my opinion, she's not fit for motherhood if she acts like that. What's that? Oh, you're looking for a room. Well, come board with my husband and I. We won't mind at all. Oh, no, please, just do. We love having visitors. Just come along and meet my husband with me. To my dear husband, the grace and mercy of God our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Dear husband, I pray for you constantly, for I know what sorrow you are feeling because of my imprisonment. Yet I wish you to know that the grace of God which the Apostle Paul received is also sufficient for me. What a blessing it is to hear in my heart the scriptures and the hymns which we so earnestly memorize together. The Holy Spirit faithfully reminds me of these promises each day, especially during moments of interrogation and intense pain. The comfort that these words bring is often my only hope, but it is a sure hope. I'm glad to know you're lodging so nearby, dear husband. I understand, of course, your concealment, and indeed I insist upon it, for the Lord has called you to teach and to disciple his children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is indeed an honorable calling. Moreover, for the sake of our children in the flesh, I beg you to remain in hiding as long as it is given to you. Our little Jean would be crawling about by now if I would allow it, but I have no heart to set him down among the filth. His presence is my greatest delight, and my greatest sorrow, for no child should experience an existence like this. God keep you, my beloved, until in his kindness we may meet again, if not in this life, then in the heavenly Jerusalem, where we shall receive the eternal reward of our sufferings. Pray, God, that he will supply such grace as is needed, so that I may offer up my body as an acceptable sacrifice for his glorious name. Your loving wife, Claudine Lovetta. Whew, what an uproar in the market today. Could you ever guess, Monsieur? No, you couldn't, of course. But there's been an escape. Yes, the whole prison was found, not quite the whole, prison was found abandoned yesterday of nearly all those heretics. Of course I'm serious. The whole town is abuzz with it. If you were out and about more, you would hear these things. Who didn't escape? Well, gracious, I don't know. Actually, yes, I do. That Anabaptist woman I told you about with the little baby. I heard her singing last month. You know, I spoke to you about her. She sang so beautifully. She's still in there. She couldn't escape because of the baby. The gatekeeper's wife told me that she was still in there, at least, and you can usually trust what the gatekeeper's wife says. I say, Monsieur, you've suddenly gone quite pale. Are you feeling all right? Why don't you go lie down, and I'll send you a bit of tea up to your room. Yes, sir? You want me to come out again? What? My son? What do you mean? Oh, no, I won't let you take him. You can't just come take him. Let me keep him, please. I'll teach him not to cry if that's what bothers you. Oh, no, please, sir. No, wait. Sir, please come back. Please bring back my son. What are you going to do with him? Where will you take him? Who's going to take care of him? Oh, God, help me. What shall I do? What can I do? Father, please help me. I can still hear his cries. Oh, Lord, let them bring him back. Please help him. Help me. I'm afraid I know what they're doing to me. They're going to try to break me. Oh, Father, how can I withstand them? They're taking my son. Please, Father God, give me strength. Monsieur de Miaus. Oh, there you are. I've news for you. It's about the Anabaptist woman, Claudine Lovetta. They brought her out into the front of the prison today and proclaimed her sentence before all the people. Yes, I was there. They declared her false beliefs, her second baptism, and her stubborn refusal to adhere to the Holy Church and its ordinances. She has been declared an heretic, and therefore an enemy of the church and the state, and she's been condemned to death. She's to be buried alive. Now listen, Monsieur, because I don't think you quite believe me yet, but she is mad, because when they gave her her sentence, do you know what she did? She started to sing. Sing! It's as if she has no comprehension of pain or of death the way any stable human being would. It's almost as if she's possessed. Anyways, I came to invite you to go with me to behold the scene. Well, her execution, of course. I want to see it. It'll be the talk of the town for a week, I'm sure. Won't you go with me? No? Well, I'll tell you all about it when I get back, then, if that's what you want. Father in heaven, now my time on this earth is growing short. Thank you for your faithfulness. You have preserved my soul from the first I gave it to you until now. So many others around me were falling away and turning their backs on you, but you've heard my cries for strength and have given me the grace I needed to cling to your truth. You were there when they first came and took me from my house and from my husband and my home. You were there when so many others were able to escape and I couldn't. You were there during all those times of torture and interrogation and questions that I just couldn't answer anymore. And you were there when Jean was taken, and God, wherever he is, please take care of him. Please help him to hear the truth, too. Thank you, though. You have been with me through all of this, and I'm still here. Amazing. You're amazing. Thank you. Now, dear Father, help me to endure to the end. Deliver me not over unto the will of my persecutors, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and some that breathe out cruelty. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Bonjour, Miaus. Yes, I'm back. You would have been astonished by the proceedings. No, everything with the actual execution went as expected. It's the prisoner herself who is perplexing to me. I'm still not sure whether to pity the poor woman or to rejoice that she's dead, because of course she was quite mad. Again, she had no fear of pain or of being buried alive. Not even when she was tied and laid in the grave did she seem to comprehend what was happening. The officials had her gagged before I got there, but everyone I talked to firmly believed that she would have died singing if she'd been allowed to. You see, she had such an unswayed, undaunted manner about her. She was almost happy, but she was mad, of course. Perfectly insane. I don't know how else to describe it. There's nothing else I know of that can make a person face their death with such tranquility. Inside? Oh, my husband and I? Well, sure, but what about? Is it about the Anabaptist woman? And you? What do you mean? Really? Something that can change our lives, huh? I'll go get my husband and we'll be right in. Claudine Levetta withstood more than a year of torture and intense interrogation before being buried alive for her faith. Her son, John, after being taken from her, was never seen again by any that knew him. Monsieur Dumiel, living with the miller and his wife, was actually Pearson, her husband. After his wife's death, Pearson revealed himself to his hosts and explained not only his relation to Claudine, but also their Anabaptist beliefs that made them behave in such an odd manner to them. Being deeply moved, the miller and his wife both became believers and were baptized, even though it was illegal. Later, both of them also gave their lives for the faith. Now, I'm going to ask you to open your bulletins with me. There's an excerpt from Psalms 27 inside, and that was, according to tradition, the song that Claudine Levetta sang on the way to her execution.